sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Pray with me. God, help us now as we consider what these words mean. Cause us to have the eyes of faith, to discern truth, to know reality, to understand our lives and to understand your commandments, and to see where we need to make adjustments in our thinking and our affections and in our steps, that you will be most glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you offend a teenage boy? How do you make him mad? Well, I know some of the ways. I have teenage boys. One of the ways is to call them a baby if they're being weak. One of the ways is to infer that they're a whiner. And one of my lines, if they say it's cold outside, and I'll say, yeah, and it's whiny in here, they'll get mad. They'll get upset about having been dealt with that way and treated that way. Well, as we look here, Paul is throwing around some similar words in dealing with the church. As he is speaking that to them here, he calls them natural, fleshly, and he calls them jealous infants. How striking would that be for you if you are waiting for a letter to come from the apostle, and it comes, and you start reading through, and it's very nice, it's very positive. He calls them saints, set apart for glory, describes all of these great things. Then he says, you little babies, you weak children, worldly, fleshly infants. This is the reality of what Paul is looking on the church and seeing. Now, it's a threat for us to think, yes, yes, those terrible Corinthians, they were bad, they were wicked, and we can look at the immorality that was in their midst and say, yeah, it was terrible. But if that were the case, if this only applied to Corinth at this time, God would not have preserved 1 Corinthians, would not have put it in your Bible, and he would not have set it on this pulpit, and he would not have it opened to be read to you and to be preached to you. So the challenge for us is to look and to see, where is the overlap here? Where specifically does this apply for us as individuals? So you in the pew, you have to be looking. And you have to be considering, in what ways am I fleshly? In what ways am I worldly? In what ways am I jealous? And summing all of that up, in what ways am I an infant? So the call for you this morning is to look and to appraise your own maturity. To look and see where you are immature. And to consider what steps you need to take for personal growth. Our first step is to put off the natural man. Put off the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, the natural person does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God. For to him it is foolishness, and he cannot understand it, because it is judged spiritually. Now, the natural man, what does that mean for us? And I knew a man who was a leader in a church, not this church, and no church that you're familiar with. But he would make excuses in different settings. We would be talking and someone would point out something that's inconsistent with Scripture in someone's life, and maybe even in his life. And he'd say, yeah, but that's only natural. And he would say it as if it were a legitimate excuse. But he did have his mind right in this, that there is something that is spiritual and there is something that is natural, and these two are at war with one another. He recognized these things that were inconsistent with Scripture were indeed natural. That they could now, in this world of sin, grow on their own and produce fruit on their own. And that these things are realities in our lives. Now, the natural man, as Scripture describes him here, does not accept what pertains to the Spirit of God. Now, let's be careful when we're talking about the Spirit of God and what we mean by this. We're not talking about just being moved emotionally in a moment, and people will think that way. Some people would criticize different worship and say, no, I don't think that worship was spiritual. And what they would mean by that was they didn't feel the hairs on the back of their necks go up in the midst of the worship service at any time. They would say, I didn't feel the spiritual side of it, or I didn't feel the Spirit of God. Well, what is spiritual? And how do we most closely interact with that which is spiritual, but with the Scriptures? So the natural man does not accept what the Bible says. That is the natural man. That is the side that is on its way to judgment. So the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. That is, he doesn't accept the will of God. He does not accept the wisdom of God as it is revealed in Scripture. That's the natural man. And each of us, we have that challenge. When we sin, every time we sin, we're being natural men. Every time we do not accept specifically what the Scripture says, we are being natural men. We are moved along in that mindset. And when we reject authoritative counsel that's in accordance with Scripture, we're being natural men. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. So we see this idea. Those who are seeking Him will understand Him. It is those who remove themselves from God and from His Word that the Scripture here in Proverbs 28:5 calls them evil men. 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, as infants in Christ. And I was early in my faith when I was talking to this man who was a leader, and he would say, but that's just natural. And I don't know if it happened in that moment or later on. I was reading that Scripture, but I pictured this very large older man in a diaper at that point, and as an infant with a pacifier in his mouth and with a bottle under his arm. He's an infant someone who is not accepting what God says. And we should have to look at ourselves and see, in what setting are we infants? Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:2, he continues on with the analogy, I gave you milk to drink. He says, you were babies. You were just babies. I gave you a bottle. That's all that you could bear. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Now, if we look at the children in our own midst, even our young ones and our younger ones and our youngest ones, they're eating solid food now. Saying we're smaller than that, weaker than that, less developed than that. And Paul goes on, says that was the case then. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, he said, indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. So our next step, number two, is guard against worldliness. Guard against worldliness. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, as infants in Christ. What are we talking about as we say worldly? And this is something, this is language that people will scoff at out there if we say something is worldly. And people will talk about the world and say, well, things change. And as if that's okay, the world is on a path and it's on a direction and that the world is evolving and that's okay. People will say the world is more advanced. People will say it's growing, it's getting better. But what does Paul mean and what does the Holy Spirit mean as he says worldly here? Well, in John 12:31, Satan is called the prince of this world. Satan's called the prince of this world. So we're dealing with the contrast between the spiritual, what God has said in his word, what is supplying us, what lasts forever with those who are rejecting God's word and who are therefore under God's judgment. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, and there we have the idea of being fleshly, just caring for your own flesh and satisfying your own flesh, gratifying your own flesh, the one who sows to his own flesh, from that flesh will reap corruption. And you can think of that in terms of decay and death. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. So this world is under the influence of the fall and of Satan. Again, we look at this world and we see it as broken. We see it as broken and sick and diseased. As you interact with the people of the world, those who are rejecting Scripture, you should understand them by their choices that they are terminally ill. They have that disease for which there is no cure or recovery apart from Christ Jesus. When we act like them, we are acting like the people who will die. We have the same taint on us. We have the same stink on us. We have the same appearance on us. And we are acting like those who are marching to hell forever. I was traveling with my daughter this past week and someone was burning garbage. And we smelled it. We smelled that stench. And she said, oh, what is that? And I said, someone is burning garbage. And I then described to her how Jesus talked about Gehenna. That there was a garbage dump outside of the city that was perpetually burning. People would take their garbage, whatever it was, and throw it in, and it would burn. It's striking that Jesus would refer to the burning spirits in the same way that he would refer to the burning garbage heap outside the city. The stench, the death, how disgusting and morbid, how much you would avoid it, how much you would hate it when the wind shifted and the smell of it would come towards you. Shouldn't we have the same feeling and the same disgust towards our own sin? The smell of Gehenna. The smell of the burning garbage heap. So being worldly is to follow the influence of the fall away from God. To demonstrate the same allegiance to Satan that Adam and Eve has. To follow that same allegiance that the world follows. That we would look at them and we would shake our heads publicly. We would look at them and we would see their lifestyle. And go ahead and think of the things that you see in this world that make you shake your head. Think of those things that you openly hate. Think of the things at which you scoff. Why would they do that? How would they do that? I would never do that. My father never would have let me do that. I would never let one of my children do that. And yet, each of our crimes is that same stain. The ones that we love, the ones that we embrace, the ones that we are able to hide, the attitudes that we are able to hide, it is fleshly. It is worldly. Our next step is number 3. Remember, judgment is on this world. Remember, judgment is on this world. John 12:31 clearly says, now judgment is upon this world. Now the prince of this world will be cast out. What does it mean for us to continue to think in that context that judgment is on this world? What does it mean for us to remember the reality that God's wrath looms over these circumstances and situations? There was a place on a country road where we would often travel, and as you drove along, you would look, and there was this large tree that had shifted on the bank, and it had started to fall, and it had hit one utility line. And it was hanging on that one utility line. And the first time you saw it, you would think, oh no, this is terrible. I'm not going under that. And you would drive all the way around and you would go the other way. And the next time you would come by and think, huh, that thing's still there. Well, I guess I'll go around. And you would drive all the way around the other way. And the next time you come and you look, you're like, well, it's still there. I guess it's okay. And you drive under it. And the next time you drive under and you think, huh, there it is. Pretty bad. I hope it doesn't fall. And you drive under it. And you drive under it, and you drive under it, and you forget about it. Has the danger really changed? Is it going to hang there forever? Is that the reality, or eventually, is that one utility line finally going to snap? And is this great locust tree finally going to fall down and crush whatever's under it? We have looked at this world, and we have looked at it, and we've looked at it, and we've dealt with the people in it, and we've been friends with the people in it, and maybe at some point we've looked at them, and we've grieved for them, and thought, God's wrath's going to fall. But then we come back and think, well, hasn't happened yet. Still hasn't happened. I guess it's okay, and now we've forgotten. Forgotten how terrible it's going to be. We have forgotten the words of the Psalms that the slain shall fill his path. It will be a valley of corpses. There'll be a world of corpses, and an angel of the Lord will shout out to all the beasts and the birds of the sky, come to the feast of the Lord, and they will be gorged on the flesh of the slain. People that we say that we love, the people that we say that we like, and even more terrifying maybe, that we will drink from their same cup, that we will enjoy their same sins, we will enjoy their same attitudes, forgetting that worldliness and fleshliness will certainly come under judgment. This brings us to our fourth step now. This is God judges all things. God judges all things. 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. Do you remember that he sees everything? Do you remember that? So often we're like that infant or that toddler playing hide and seek. We think if we cover our eyes, he does not see us. But he does. He does. He sees all things. And we imagine that we can continue on in our sin, continue on in our crimes, and that that tree is never going to fall. I'm reminded of a story, and this was in one of our counseling books. There was a man who was addicted to pornography, and this is in the days of cassette tapes. And in order to hide them, he put them in his drop ceiling. And he ended up with such a collection, putting them there, and putting them there, and putting them there, and putting them there. He was afraid his drop ceiling was going to fall. And he described the circumstances that he would be sitting in his living room, and he would sometimes hear a creak, or sometimes hear a shift, and was afraid that the ceiling would fall down on him and his children, and all of his sins and his crimes would be exposed. When I was in seminary, one of our own pastors was exposed in the same sin, to his own humiliation, to the humiliation of his congregation and his wife and his children, and to the entire denomination. All things were seen. He was being examined by the FBI, and everything he looked at was known and recorded and displayed to the world. I bring you the terrifying news and the terrifying account of Scripture that there is nothing hidden that will not be unveiled. Dreadful and fearful, especially as we consider our own hearts and our own thoughts. And if you've been around any length of time, you've had the experience of the things that you have thought even coming back and biting you. The painful realities and the painful truths. Now we're going to go ahead and stop with this here. And this is for us to consider now. For us to consider, in what ways have we been worldly? Are we being worldly? In what ways are we being fleshly? In what ways are we being jealous infants? That God would deal with us. That we would consider God's testimony. And we would adjust the steps of our feet in accordance with maturity and truth and righteousness and grace. Pray with me. Our God, help us. Help us to discern these things that are spiritual, that are truth, that are reality, that we would know you and understand you and your will and your desire for us. And Lord, that we would put off our sin. And that we would be putting on the new man. that you would be most glorified in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.